Hazardous materials practice test number two. Question number one. A driver that hauls hazardous materials must attend training every 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, or none of the above. It's every 3 years. From Section 9, Hazardous Materials Intro, the regulations require that hazardous materials employees be trained and tested at least once every 3 years. Question number two. An A/W in the first column of the hazardous materials table means the material has no restrictions when shipped by air and or water. There are no restrictions with this material if shipped by water only. It is okay to ship this material by air only, or this material is only restricted when shipped by air and or water. An A/W in the first column means this material is only restricted when shipped by air and or water. 9.3.3 list of regulated products. The A means that the hazardous material described in column 2 is subject to the HMR only when offered or if intended for transport by air, the A for air, unless it is a hazardous substance or a hazardous waste. W means the hazardous material described in column 2 is subject to the HMR only when offered or intended for transportation by water, unless it is a hazardous substance, hazardous waste, or marine pollutant. Question number three. Animals and human foodstuffs should not be loaded in the same vehicle with flammable liquids, explosives, flammable gases, or poisons. The answer is poisons. 9.4.1 General Loading Requirements. Do not load 6.1 or 2.3 poison or poison inhalation hazard labeled material in the same vehicle with animal or human food unless the poison package is overpacked in an approved way. Foodstuffs are anything you swallow. However, mouthwash, toothpaste, and skin creams are not foodstuff. Question number four. At what time is it required for the driver to have an approved gas mask on hand? Any vehicle carrying an inhalation hazard cargo, any vehicle carrying chlorine, any vehicle carrying toxic materials, or all of the above. It's any vehicle carrying chlorine, as we've seen before with the gas mask about chlorine. In section 9.6.11, equipment for chlorine, a driver transporting chlorine in cargo tanks must have an approved gas mask in the vehicle. Question number five. Class A explosives must not be transported in a combination vehicle if the vehicle includes a placarded cargo tank, two or more trailers, a 200-inch wheelbase trailer, or none of the above. The answer is a placarded cargo tank. In 9.4.1 General Loading Requirements, do not transport Division 1.1 or 1.2, those are explosives, in vehicle combinations if there is a marked or placarded cargo tank in the combination, which is a placarded cargo tank. Question number six. Cylinders containing compressed gases may only be loaded onto a vehicle without a flat floor or platform if the cylinders are in boxes that will keep them from turning over, loaded into racks attached to the vehicle, loaded in an upright or horizontal position, or all of the above. This is all of these, all of the above, 9.4.1, General Loading Requirements under Class 2 Compressed Gases, including cryogenic liquids. If your vehicle does not have racks to hold cylinders, the cargo space floor must be flat. The cylinders must be held upright and in racks attached to the vehicle or in boxes that will keep them from turning over. The last thing, cylinders may be loaded in a horizontal position, lying down if it is designed so the relief valve is in the vapor space. So, it's mentioned in boxes that will keep them from turning over, loaded onto racks attached to the vehicle, and loaded in an upright or horizontal position. All of the above. Question number seven. Do not smoke within how many feet of a placarded cargo tank used for Class 3 flammable liquids or Division 2.1, which are gases? 25 feet, 50, 75, or 100 feet. Correct answer is 25 feet. In 9.6.6, under smoking, do not smoke within 25 feet of a placarded cargo tank used for Class 3 flammable liquids or Division 2.1 gases. Question number 8. drivers of placarded vehicles transporting hazardous materials must stop how many to how many feet from the nearest rail of a railroad? 15 to 20 feet, 15 to 50 feet, 5 to 10 feet, or 15 to 50 yards? The answer is 15 to 50 feet. 9.6.12, stop before railroad crossing, says, stop before a railroad crossing if your vehicle is placarded, carries any amount of chlorine, has cargo tanks, whether loaded or empty, used for hazardous materials, and you must stop 15 to 50 feet before the nearest rail. Question number 9. Drivers who transport route-controlled radioactive materials must carry a dated certificate of radioactive materials training. This training must have occurred within the last 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, or 1 year. The answer is 2 years in hazardous materials introduction. The regulations also require that drivers have special training before driving a vehicle transporting certain flammable gas materials or highway route-controlled quantities of radioactive materials. Not every state CDL manual has this information. It's a federal regulation, but take note in this section, it'll say whether that information is applicable to your state. Some just say you have to have special training whenever you transport route-controlled radioactive materials. Question 10. How many different hazard classes are there? 9, 23, 24, or 19? Answer is 9 in 9.3.1 definitions in this hazardous materials class table. They show the 9 classes and their corresponding divisions and examples. Question number 11. How many identical placards is a vehicle hauling hazardous materials required to display and wear? 1 on the rear of the vehicle only. 2, 1 on the front and 1 on the back. 4, 2 in the front and 2 in the back. Or 4, 1 on the front, 1 on the back, and 1 on each side of the vehicle. The answer is the last one, 4. 1 on the front, 1 in the back, and 1 on each side of the vehicle from 9.3.3 lists of regulated products placards. A placarded vehicle must have at least 4 identical placards. They are put on the front, rear, and both sides of the vehicle. Question number 12. If a hazardous material is spilling from your vehicle, do not move your vehicle any more than safety required, in an upwind direction, any more than 450 feet, or any more than 500 feet. It's any more than safety required. In 9.7.3, in under fires, if hazardous materials are spilling from your vehicle, do not move it any more than safety requires. Question number 13. If the words inhalation hazard appear on your shipping papers, you need placards designating a poison, placards designating a hazardous substance, a gas mask in the cab of your truck, or gloves for handling the materials. It's A, placards designating a poison from manual section 9.3.3, lists of regulated products. If the words inhalation hazard appear on the shipping paper or package, the rules require display of poison, inhalation hazard, or poison gas placards as appropriate. These placards must be used in addition to other placards which may be required by the product's hazard class. Always display the hazard class placard and the poison inhalation hazard placard, even for small amounts. So if the words inhalation hazard appear on the shipping papers, you need placards designating a poison. Question 14. In column 1, the symbol I means iodine, international restrictions, international transportation, or invalid substance. The answer is international transportation. In 9.3.3, the lists of regulated products, here it says the I identifies a proper shipping name that is used to describe materials in international transportation. Number 15. Special requirements for hazardous materials shipping papers include color coding the hazardous materials bills, requiring drivers to keep papers either tabbed or on top of other papers, requiring shippers to keep the bills in a separate envelope, or none of the above. It's B, requiring drivers to keep papers either tabbed or on top of other papers. Section 9.6.10, where to keep shipping papers and emergency response information. Clearly distinguish hazardous materials shipping papers from others by tabbing them or keeping them on top of a stack of papers. Question 16. The basic description of a hazardous material includes the hazard class, the ID number, and the proper shipping name. Which one must appear first on the shipping paper? The box number, the identification number, the hazard class, or the proper shipping name? The answer is the identification number. It's come from Manual Section 9.3.5, the item description. The basic description of hazardous materials includes the identification number, proper shipping name, hazard class or division, and the packing group, if any, in that order. A little bit of more information here. More than a year ago, this is almost 2 years ago now, the sequence of the basic description on hazardous materials shipping papers changed in the DOT regulation. This is the new order of information per 49 CFR 172.202. Identification number, proper shipping name, hazard class, and then packing group. To ease the transition to this new order, DOT is allowing shippers to use the old sequence of information just until January 1st, 2013, of course, is passed. They can still use proper shipping name, hazard class, subsidiary hazard, and identification number, packing group. And apparently, many states have not picked up on this, as many official state CDL manuals still have the old sequence as the proper one. Until corrected, I advise using the order that's specified in your state's CDL manual. So that's still the case, and if you're going to get the answer correct, you need to say what the order is in your state CDL manual, even if it's not up to date with the federal regulations change that's mentioned here. Question number 17. The hazard class of all materials specifies how heavy the material is, how much of the material is on your trailer, the risks associated with the materials, or how flammable the material is. The answer is the risks associated with the materials. From 9.3.1 definitions, a material's hazard class reflects the risks associated with it. Also in 9.1.2, shippers must warn drivers and others about the material's hazards to communicate the risk. Question 18. The transport index of a radioactive material is another way of writing the weight of the package. Is something that only the shipper needs to worry about, tells the degree of control needed during transportation, or none of the above. Answer C, tells the degree of control needed during transportation. 9.4.1 general loading requirements. The transport index tells the degree of control needed during transportation. Question number 19. There are three lists that drivers, shippers, and carriers use to find out if a material is regulated as hazardous. Which one of these choices is not one of those three lists? The list of hazardous substances and reportable quantities, the list of marine pollutants, EPA dangerous materials list, or hazardous materials table? The answer is the EPA dangerous materials list. Here it mentions the list. Always check the following lists. Hazardous materials table, which was D. The list of hazardous substances and reportable quantities, which was A, and the list of marine pollutants, which was B. So the answer is EPA dangerous materials list, which is not shown. Question 20. What type of fire extinguisher is required in the power unit of a placarded vehicle? A UL rating of 15 ABC, a UL rating of 5 BC or above, a UL rating of 10 BC or above, or any of the above are acceptable. The answer is a UL rating of 10 BC or above. From 9.6.8, 10 BC fire extinguisher, the power unit of placarded vehicles must have a fire extinguisher with a UL rating of 10 BC or more. Question 21. When a substance in the materials table is written in italics, it means it is not a proper shipping name. Only those in Roman type above it are proper shipping names. It is a foreign substance. The substance is for international transport, or it is the proper shipping name. Answer, it is not the proper shipping name. 9.3.3 lists of regulated products. The table shows proper shipping names in regular type. The shipping paper must show proper shipping names. Names shown in italics are not proper shipping names. Question 22. When fueling a placarded vehicle, someone must always be within 10 feet of the pump with a fire extinguisher, at the emergency power shutoff for the pump, at the nozzle controlling the fuel flow, or be at the rearmost corner of the vehicle. The answer is C, at the nozzle controlling the fuel flow. From 9.6.7, refuel with engine off. Turn off your engine before fueling a motor vehicle containing hazardous materials. Someone must always be at the nozzle controlling fuel flow. Question number 23. When hauling explosives 1.1 and 1.3, which placard do you use? Explosives 1.3, explosives 1.1, dangerous, or both A and C? The answer is B, explosives 1.1, from 9.3.11 placard tables. If your vehicle contains any amount of mass explosives, or 1.1, you placard as explosives 1.1, or the most dangerous. Question number 24. When transporting compressed gases, you must secure the cylinders in boxes or racks, or brace them down flat, cover the cylinders with an asbestos material, secure the cylinders together, or none of the above. Answer is A, secure the cylinders in boxes or racks, or brace them down flat. In 9.4.1 General Loading Requirements, Class 2 compressed gases, including cryogenic liquids. If your vehicle does not have racks to hold cylinders, the cargo space floor must be flat, which is A. The cylinders must be held upright and in racks attached to the vehicle or in boxes that will keep them from turning over. Question 25. When transporting explosives, flammable liquid, or flammable gas, you may not use cargo heaters, take more than an 8-hour break, load the materials in a closed cargo space, or smoke in the cab of your truck. The answer is you may not use cargo heaters. 9.4.1 General Loading Requirements under cargo heater rules. The rules usually forbid use of cargo heaters, including automatic cargo heater / air conditioner units. Question number 26. Which of the following is the proper definition of a cargo tank? A bulk container not permanently attached to a vehicle. A bulk container permanently attached to a vehicle, both choices A and B, or none of the above. The answer is B, a bulk container permanently attached to a vehicle. 9.5, bulk packaging marking, loading and unloading. Cargo tanks are bulk packaging permanently attached to a vehicle. Question 27. Which of the following must drivers have in their possession while transporting Class A or Class B explosives? The carrier's insurance policy, the written route plan, both of the above, or none of the above. The answer is B, the written route plan. 9.6.5 route restrictions. If transporting division 1.1, 1.2, or 1.3 explosives, you must have a written route plan and follow that plan. Question number 28. Who is responsible for packaging, labeling, and preparing the hazardous material shipping papers for a common carrier? Your spouse, the shipper, the carrier, or the driver? The answer is B, the shipper. 9.3.7 and 9.3.6. In shipper's certification, when the shipper packages hazardous materials, he or she certifies that the package has been prepared according to the rules. So first of all, they prepare it and they do it by the rules. And secondly, under package markings and labels, shippers print required markings directly on the package, an attached label or tag. So they prepare it and they package it and they label it. Question 29. With most hazardous materials, you may park within 5 feet of the road briefly if your work requires it. The materials that are the exception and do not allow parking this close to the road are acids and poisons, explosives A and B, liquids, or corrosives and oxidizers. The answer is B, explosives A and B. In 9.6.1, parking with division 1.1, 1.2, or 1.3 explosives, it says you may park a placarded vehicle not laden with explosives within 5 feet of the traveled part of the road only if your work requires it. Question 30. you do not have a hazardous materials endorsement on your commercial driver license. When can you legally haul hazardous materials? Only when your vehicle does not require placards. All of the above, never, or only when the shipment does not cross state lines. The answer is only when the vehicle does not require placards. In 2.24.3, list of regulated products, or in this section, it's California manual, it's 2.23.3, says you can drive a vehicle that carries hazardous materials if it does not require placards.